Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 269. This is going to be the race report from the Light to Light 50-mile ultra marathon that I participated in on February 2nd, 2019. It is the week of February 6th, 2019. So I'm in a recovery mode right now. It's a couple days after the race. My legs are back to normal today. Yesterday still felt it a little bit going up and down steps. But physically the recovery's been really good. I don't have any injuries. I do have a little bit of blistering on the bottom of my left foot, but it's nothing that I had to treat or do anything with. As a matter of fact, I didn't even feel it during the race itself, so it was nothing I had to address when I got home. But coming home that night was the night of the race was pretty rough because we had a 3.5-hour drive in the car, and we stopped at one rest area to use the facilities, and that was a pretty slow walk from the car into the visitors center there. But I'm happy to say that I completed the race. That was good for my sixth 50-mile ultra finish. It's a distance that I like, and it's hard, but it's not impossible. But my experience this year was very different than last year, and I've got about 20, I think I have 20 audio clips from the race, which I'll insert here and there into the podcast. But this was, I was returning to this race for the second year. I did it last year, ran 11 hours, 17 minutes. This year I ran 20 minutes faster, and that was not the goal, although I will say that part of me wanted to see if I could do it faster because I had an excellent training cycle preparing for this. However, being that I've signed up to attempt a 100-miler in late April, this was really supposed to be kind of a, quote, practice race to kind of see how things worked out, if I went a lot slower and then what kind of energy reserves I had or whatever. But because of a huge blunder that I made during the race, I wasn't able to do that because I took a wrong turn and went the wrong way. And I'll talk about how I was able to get a finish, an official finish. The race director gave me official finish. I told him exactly what happened and what I had done unintentionally. So as we go through the podcast here, I got some audio clips in reference to that. And I kind of take you along with me here as I go through the 50 miles, and then when I realize I made a mistake, how I handled it. But this was a little bit of redemption. I had a DNF last year. If you're a regular listener to the show, then you know that I DNF'd at the Belmonte 50K, which was in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Completely had my backside handed to me in that race. It was very humbling, and that's all documented in a podcast, which is episode 258. So if you want to go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and scroll for older episodes, you can find that one. It's called, it's the podcast 10th anniversary happy DNF episode. But after that, I like the flatland running. I really do. I love being down at the beach. And that's where this race took place, in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. If for some reason you're not familiar with that part of the country, it's a barrier island that runs along the coast of North Carolina. It's a beautiful place. It's some of the towns there are Nag's Head, Kitty Hawk, and Corolla, Hatteras. Those are some of the villages there in the little town areas. But it's flat. It's hard. It's very hard. It's hard pavement. It's flat, very straight, and has endless beach houses that all look the same pretty much after 10 hours. And then there's a highway section. But you do get to run. It starts at the base of a lighthouse, Currituck Beach Lighthouse, and then goes down to Body Island Lighthouse, circles the parking lot there by the lighthouse, which is really cool, and then heads back north and finishes. And it's just over 50 miles is the length of it. Training went really good. If you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard me talk about that in the podcast. Had excellent training. There was some snow that we got here in Central Virginia here and there. It didn't interfere with anything on the weekends doing the back-to-back long runs. I was very fortunate to have a Saturday group that was able to help me for the most part, runs of 10 miles or less. For me to get the longer runs, I had to start earlier by myself, but I was very thankful to have people to meet up with around 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. to finish. I usually started my runs at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., depending upon the distance. And then I would run Sunday morning before Mass, again, getting up pretty early. I always kind of joke that I get up earlier on the weekends than I do during the regular work week. But this year was just my wife, crew, and me. Last year, my wife and daughter were down there, and this year, daughter stayed home. My wife, Monica, was my crew, and we left the Friday, February 1st, drove down, got our bib, stopped at a place, had pizza and beer, some beers and some wings, actually, and then we went to the hotel and chilled out. I didn't sleep very well. I felt like I just kept waking up. But I think it's kind of that way for most people before they're got a big event the next day. The race was, start time was at 6 a.m. It was in the dark. We're at the base of the Currituck Beach Lighthouse, which is on Route 12 in the area of Corolla, North Carolina, which is the northern part of the Barrier Island. The temperatures were right around 40 degrees. The forecast was supposed to be fantastic. Low wind, not cold at all. It turned out to be a beautiful day. But there was a little bit of wind at the start. It just wasn't forecast for the day. So I started with actually a jacket, long pants, hat, and gloves. But within about 20 minutes, I had unzipped my jacket, and it kind of became a morning of gloves on and off, hat on and off, as my comfort level went up and down. And then I ended up just zipping my jacket back way, about halfway up, and that seemed to work out pretty good. There were three other runners from the Ashland area that also participated in the race. My friends, Tina, Heather, and Cameron. I've known Tina for a while. Heather is somebody that I met through Tina because they trained together. I saw them plenty of times while I was doing my training with my group. This was Tina's first 50. She's done other 50K races. Heather's a Bull Run 50-mile finisher. But she had some kind of surgery, I think, after or in between that race and this one. And so this was maybe a little bit of a comeback. And she's also an Ironman finisher, so very tough woman. And then Cameron, who's he's an accomplished marathoner, but he never run an ultra. He ended up finishing fifth overall, which was just simply incredible. I never saw him during the race, but I saw Tina and Heather plenty, and we talked, certainly met up and talked at the start. So I got an audio clip from the start. I'd like to go ahead and play that, and then we'll go on.
Now, race director.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
Welcome to the second annual Outer Banks Running Club Light to Light 50. We hope everybody's feeling good, well trained. We ordered some perfect weather for you. It's going to be a fantastic day. The course, if you didn't hear from me last night, the course is the same as last year. It's pretty straightforward. You're going to go out of here. You're going to follow the highway. You're going to get the entire course is marked with arrows. There's little white signs with black arrows. Anywhere you're going to have to make any kind of turns, although there's very few, it's all marked. We're going to have some good food at the aid stations. Follow the person in front of you. The person is really the only person who's going to have to pay attention to where they're going. So good luck, everybody. I hope all your training culminates into a fantastic day and you get some PRs. We had a whole lot of PRs on this course last year. And I don't know what else to say. I'm going to turn it over to Scott Williams, our representative for our charity, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, to say a few words of
there's not really much more to say. Thank you, Scott. Thank you all for showing up early this morning and spending the day with us. We'll be cruising up down 12, so flag us down if you need something. But we're so glad you're here. And are y'all ready to go?
Yeah!
Right. Everybody, relentless forward momentum. On your mark. Yes, yes. Go!
And we were off. 57 people started the race. Not a huge event, but that's my kind of thing. I like the smaller events. And so we headed out to from the parking lot of the lighthouse there, headed out to Route 12 and turned south. The First aid station was at 17, was supposed to be at 17 miles. It turned out to be at 15 and a half, and I did not see my crew at that aid station because of the little snafu there. But I did see Monica around mile, I think it was 8. But before that, I had a another audio clip to put in.
All right, that is mile 6 of the Light to Light 50. Can't tell my time here. The Garmin screen's blocked by the lap. I get a second. 1:07. 1 hour, 7 minutes, just about. Goal for the first maybe 10 to 15 is 5 miles an hour. And then I'm going to go with 5 and 5 for a while. 5 minute run, 5 minute walk. And then I might switch back. I'm going to keep things variable today. The conditions are perfect. 37 degrees at the start. Very light wind from the north, northeast. 5 to 10 miles an hour is what the forecast was. And so as a result, I got a shell jacket and long running pants on, which were very nice for the first couple miles, and gloves and a knit hat. Problem is, my hands are sweating so much, once I took the gloves off, I couldn't get them back on, and I don't really need them at this point. We're on Route 12, southbound, Outer Banks, North Carolina. The sun's up. It's beautiful. It's a cloudy day. Right along, maybe 200 yards to my left, to the east is the ocean. A couple hundred yards to my right, to the west, is the sound. And I believe it's called the Croatan Sound. Now, there's 3 people from my area down here, Cameron, Heather, and Tina. I saw them at the starting line. We had a group picture, and I haven't seen them since. They are likely ahead of me, because I'm pretty much close to the back, I think. I'm not even sure. I'm just estimating because I went out with a pack of people, and they went out ahead of me pretty quick. I'm not sure what happened. I think they're ahead of me because right at the start, I was fumbling with my headlamp and my hat. So that's probably where they are. They're probably ahead of me. So I think I'm going to be seeing first aid stations at 17 miles. I'm going to see my crew, I think, around between 8 and 9. We stayed at the Hampton Inn, which is about 9 miles from the start. So, and Hampton Inn being south of the start line. So since I'm heading south, I'll be looking to see Monica there. And I'll switch out water bottles, take off the jacket and the pants. Probably switch to I'll probably just keep the knit hat on. I might try to run just with a cap. And we'll see how that goes. And if it's too cold, I'll switch up when I get to the aid station at 17. I can probably suck it up and run 9 or 8 without it. All right. Check in a little while.
Okay, well, if you haven't cut the podcast off by now and you're still listening, that was obviously a lot of dumb talking out loud about hat decisions. It's just that the air was, it was only about 40 degrees, but it kind of changed a little bit. And so I wanted the hat, didn't want the hat. I ended up switching, once I saw my crew, to a pair of gloves I could get on and off a little easier. And then something interesting happened.
I'm almost at 10, but I had something very interesting happen just now, a few minutes ago. I'm running up next to a guy, and he's in shorts, so I was asking him if he's cold, had he been cold, because I was getting ready to leave my long pants with my crew, because I had a first access to my crew at mile 8. And I start talking to this guy, and he's like, yeah, no problem. And he says, are you by any chance Ashland Dave? I said, as a matter of fact, I am. He said, I'm Midlow Pete. And so we shook hands, and I apologized to him because I think he had sent me an email, he said, back in December saying he was going to be doing this. But in my self-centeredness, I completely forgot. How about other people coming down here other than the folks from Hanover? So Pete, good to meet you. He met my wife Monica when we passed her. Pete did say that his training went horrible. So he's, I guess, not sure what's gonna happen today. Mile 10 at 154, 55, which means I'm going too fast. So the sun is up, but it's not quite over this hedge that's alongside the road. It peaks over at some places. It's 7:56 a.m. Feeling pretty good, but I'm kind of in between clothing options. Back at mile 8, I dropped off the long pants, so now I'm just in shorts, but I kept the jacket, and I got a fresh hat and fresh gloves that weren't wet. I got a compression top, a short sleeve shirt that's blaze orange that's very visible, and then I've got a windbreaker shell over that. I'm sweating a lot. Feels good to have shorts on. I think I should have gotten my sunglasses because the sun is right at like 10 o'clock in front of me, and it's bright now that the hedge is low. I'm feeling pretty good. It's just 10 miles in. Long time to go, long way to go. I'm gonna do my own race. Like I said in the earlier segment, I'm gonna change up my run walk intervals just to keep things interesting. I'm sure I'll see Pete over the course of the day. Pretty much by myself now. Pete's up a couple hundred yards ahead of me, and there's five or six people about 100 yards behind me. I have no idea where I am in the race. My crew said that she saw Cameron, who's one of the guys that came from Hanover, but did not see Tina and Heather. So I don't know where they are. I always assume that everybody's ahead of me. It's always a good assumption when you're an ordinary middle-of-the-pack nobody. Think about getting out the iPod here in a little bit.
So at that point, kept on running, and then I caught up with Midlow Pete and had a real short chat. Before we parted ways again.
All right, getting ready to turn 15 miles on my watch. I'm here with Midlow Pete. He's made it to 15. We're at a gorgeous part of the course where we're like 20 yards from the sound to the west. It's beautiful. There's 15. And then the ocean is just a couple hundred yards to the east. So you live, obviously, in Midlothian. Did you ride up this morning really early or last night?
Last night.
Yeah. That's when we got in. Just chilled out. Did you stay down at the Comfort Inn or are you up here at the top?
I'm about halfway.
Okay. Well, I hope you have the rest of your mornings good, Pete. I'm sure I'll see you plenty.
Absolutely.
All right. 2 hours, 53 minutes, 15 miles. I think I'm going to walk to the top of the hour. I'm still walking. It's 15.18 miles. Yeah, Pete was right. Before I started producing that little segment there, he was asking me how I felt. I guess he was referring to the upcoming 100. One thing I do know is that I need to walk much more of each hour. I am running too much. Just, you get caught up. I achieved my goal 15 miles under 3 hours. So, and part of me wanted to do that up to 25. I've kind of reevaluated. I'm going to see by doing the 5 and 5, which I've already kind of messed up. I'm going to walk to the top of the hour, 3 minutes, and then do a 5 and 5 up to the aid station and on up to 25 miles and then see if I'm at 5 hours. So that's another 10 at that method. So we'll see how that works. Might as well practice it out on this. I didn't do any of that on the 31-miler, which is what I should have done. So maybe I'll just slow down and treat this thing more as a practice. But it's just so fun to run down here. I love these little villages you run through with the water being on both sides of this little barrier island. And just kind of knowing that you're on this real sliver of land. It's kind of neat. All right, so I'm going to switch to 5 minutes run, 5 minute walk. 5 minutes walk, and we'll see how that works. Aid stations is at mile 17. I'll get some food then. And I got a rock in my shoe. I might switch to gaiters after a shoe change at 25. All right, we just discovered that the aid station is actually at 15 and a half miles. So, hey! Just saw Tina and Heather. So I don't know if Monica's gonna make it to this one. I'll see her. She's probably checking out the hotel. Oh well. All right, well, I'm definitely, doing the 5 and 5 has definitely slowed me down, which is what I wanted. So I'm at 19.45, 3 hours, 52 minutes. It's about 9:53 in the morning. So, sun is definitely overhead now. Well, in a kind of a southern sky going across. There's no hedge to block it anymore. I put on a visor. It's kind of one of those days where I keep taking my hat on and off. Just keeps changing the comfort level. I left gloves back. I think it was 18 and a half I saw my crew. So I went ahead and left the gloves there. So they just kept going on and off, so I'm just leaving them off. So about 19 and a half now. Walking for another 2 minutes. So I'll get 20 miles after 4 hours, which is fine. Because I'm going to do the 5 and 5 for a while. Now I've been catching up with Tina and Heather, a couple folks from Hanover back home. They're doing a 2 and 1, which I'd have a hard time doing. All right, looks like I'm gonna surprise myself. A moment just at 20. About a minute and a half before the 4 hour mark. 19.98. So, I'm really liking the walking, obviously. And here it is at 20, right there. Kind of hard to wrap my head around another 30 miles. And then, of course, in late April, the thought of doing another 70. I've never even done 70 miles. Well, I think my brain's gonna explode by the end of today if I do too much analysis. Good weather though. I'm having fun. That's the main thing. The morning's gone by fast. Went faster than I thought. All right, 21 miles, 4 hours, 12 minutes. Just made the turn onto what they call the beach road. Still Route 12. It's just this is where on the barrier island is wider, and there's a bypass that has a lot of commercial stuff on it. And this Route 12, which they call down here the beach road, this is my favorite part because the road is very close to the water. There's only one strip of homes between the road and the water, and some of those houses are so close to being in the water because of the beach erosion. Yeah. Should be seeing my crew here in a little bit. I'm currently experiencing a little bit of bloating. I think I've had too much succeed in water. I've had 2 boosts. I think I just got too much in me, so I need to kind of walk it out a little bit. Feeling pretty good. I mean, less than 30 to go now. I can wrap my head around that. And, I mean, I'm making progress. I'm having a good day. Relentless forward progress. Isn't that the name of the game? I'm right at 5 hours. It's 11 a.m., 11:01 a.m. 24.54 miles, and I think I see 2 people maybe a mile ahead of me. This road is so straight and long, and I think there's a couple people behind me. I haven't seen anybody. I haven't talked to anybody in there, except for my crew. I don't know, 2 hours, hour and a half. Kind of getting a little bit to a wall. I'm almost halfway. I got to get those thoughts out of my head of, I'm not going to make it. And I mean, what if this was a 100-mile day and I was only a quarter of the way in? Of course, I have got to walk more. I don't know why I'm doing so much running. There's really no point. I don't need to come in at 11-something. I guess if I do, I do. I'm just gonna run how I feel right now. I feel like shit. It's kind of achy. I've been listening to some music on my iPod, so that's been kind of soothing. The next aid station, I think, is at 27 or 29. So I got a little bit of ways. Got about a half water bottle. I have been going to the bathroom, so that's a good sign. I just feel kind of yucky right now. I'll come around. It's not like I haven't been here before. In this place. Yucky place, not this particular place in the road. So, I'll probably get, it's 25 here, it's 24.7. Probably about 5 hours, 10 minutes. That's what I'll estimate. And then I think at the next aid station, I'm going to go ahead and pick up my pace band and start doing some math in my head. See if I can kind of figure out what I need to do to, or kind of get an idea where it might be finishing, so I can kind of do a even-handed effort as opposed to, walking for 45 minutes. I don't know, a lot of stuff swirling around in my head right now. All right, 25 miles at, well, it's not gonna be 5:10, it's gonna be before that. Okay, you gotta slow down, Dave. 5:05:30. Dave, you gotta slow down. Gotta slow down, Dave. Gotta slow down. All right, another check-in. 31.1. 6 hours, 31 minutes. 19 to go, less than 19 to go. I think the race is, I was saying in an earlier podcast, I think the race was 53 miles. I think it's 50.3. I believe that's what it was last year, approximately. Had a good run, caught up with two runners, Shanna from Virginia Beach and Wendy right here in the Outer Banks. She works at the Sanderling Resort. And talking with Shanna, she and I are both using this run as a, quote, training run. She is doing Blackbeard's Revenge 100, which is late next month here in the Outer Banks. I had not heard about that race, so I will definitely check that out when I get back to a computer. So that, I guess, is replacing the graveyard as a 100-miler down here. Done by a different race director, apparently. So Wendy gave us some tips, first 100-miler. The way I'm feeling now, I'm not so sure I could even get past 50 miles at this point. So we're doing more walking, still doing the 5 and 5. And that worked out really good with the two ladies I was running with, because I think we probably ran together about 20 minutes, walked, ran. And now we're kind of split up because of bathroom breaks or whatever. But I think I lost about a mile and a half running and talking with them. So that's how these ultras go. You get in with somebody and you can lose a little bit and you don't even realize it's how much you've covered. So I got about a minute and a half to go before I start running again. It's gotten pretty hot. Next time I see my crew, I'm gonna see if I can get some lip balm. I've pulled my visor real far down my face so I don't get sunburned. I changed my shoes and socks at the last aid station, powdered them real nice, and I think before this race is over, I'm probably gonna put some Vaseline on the bottom of them. So I'm not yucky anymore. I'm feeling better, you know, ready to get to the end, but still pretty much all afternoon before that happens. Then I gotta start mentally thinking about what would it be like if I was only halfway done. All right, fast forward to 36.2 miles, 7:49, 7 hours, 49 minutes. It's amazing when you get in with other runners how the time just melts away. I ran about 5 miles with a real nice lady named Sherry, whose husband's retired military, and she just had some stories. And I don't know where the time went. Very nice. She does lots of hundreds. She's talking about races I never even heard of because they're so long. I hope I'm going the right way. No arrows out of the aid station. So it's 7 out, 7 back. I sat down and I had to lube the bottom, the pads of my feet. They were starting to get a little sensitive. So I lubed those up with Vaseline. I got my third pair of socks on. It's almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 1:51 p.m. I don't know where this day has gone. Up to this point, I'm having an incredible race. I'm running way too fast, but I'm feeling good. And not that I would keep this pace up, but at 36 miles, 11 o'clock pace is 7 hours, 55 minutes. So I'm not going to get that. But at this mileage, for 12-hour pace, it's 8 hours, 23. And that's where I'm at right now. So I'm in between, obviously, 11 and 12. And I'll just keep pursuing that. I think I go left here. Yeah. No arrows, but I'm pretty sure this is how I get down to Body Island. Okay, I'm going to pay attention here.
Okay, this is where the disaster starts. I was going the wrong way. The reason, I don't know why I didn't pick up on there not being an arrow there. I guess because I didn't. Let me back up a little bit. Coming out of the aid station, you go back onto the road, the beach road. The beach road continues down through a little weird intersection, and the road also swings out and picks up, stays Route 12 and goes out a little bit to the west. That's the way I went. I thought that was the way I went last year. It clearly was the wrong way, but I had invested way too much into that before I really realized what had happened. My brain was mush, and some people listening to the podcast here might actually be thinking that I should have turned around. I wasn't going to win anything, and I was really there to do, this is reflecting back on it now. I was there to do 50 miles. You don't get any prizes. You get a piece of pottery, which is real nice. But I wasn't threatening to win the race or win any prizes or anything like that. So I don't know. Maybe if you listen to the show, you might disagree with how I handled all this. But that's where the disaster started. I was going the wrong way. I'm thinking out loud that I'm going the wrong way. I'm talking out loud that I'm going the wrong way. And I continued to run, and I just actually ran faster. I don't know why it didn't dawn on me to go back. It just never did.
About 39.7 in. 8 hours, 32 minutes. For the last couple of miles, I actually thought that I'm going the wrong way. I've got a lighthouse ahead of me, and it should be about 3 1/4 miles away, which I guess it is. It's pretty far. I see absolutely nobody in front of me or behind me. I just spent a little bit of time in the last aid station, but not that much. And Sherry, the lady I was running with, has a pink jacket on, and I don't see it way up ahead. There's no other route down here. I just got a weird feeling that I'm off course, and it's probably an unnecessary worry because I'm so many miles in, and blood is more in the legs than the head. That's definitely a lighthouse. I was expecting my wife to be in this general area. My crew, at about 4 miles from the last aid station, I said I was gonna need a water bottle changeover. Sometimes she honks the horn when she passes me. I haven't seen her. Doesn't mean she hasn't driven past. I don't know, just getting a little worried. I mean, that is a lighthouse ahead of me, but that's the turnaround point. And I guess it's 3 miles away. I'm confused.
The reason I didn't see my crew anywhere is because she was traveling on the proper course, which was Old Oregon Inlet Road. And that's the road I was supposed to be on. It runs parallel to what I was running on, except what I was running on, the road curves out and swings out to the west a little bit. So I went the long way. I didn't cut the course. I just went the wrong course and ended up being longer. So she got worried about me because she thought maybe I'd had a heart attack and was lying in the ditch somewhere or had some other health problem. So I was on the wrong way. I was running the wrong route. And I don't know. The next audio clip is just a bunch of dumb talking, contemplating what I did and how I got to that point.
All right, I'm on a 5 minute walk break. I'm gonna walk right through the 40 mile mark. So if that's 3 miles down, seven back. The reason I thought I was going the wrong way, there's only so many ways south here. There's one road, Route 12. It's only one road south, so this has gotta be it. It's just that I remember a turn last year that I did not remember doing this year. And just got confused, and then when you don't see anybody in front of you for a long way, especially people that just left the aid station before I did, although I did spend probably 10-15 minutes there, they could get way up ahead. So the lighthouse I'm looking at, which is Booty Island, I don't know, B-O-D-I-E, it is to the right of the road, which is correct. From what I remember, you have to take a right turn off the main Route 12, and then it's, I don't know, three quarters of a mile back in the woods in this big clearing, which is on the opens on the sound side of the Outer Banks. I think I'm all right. Just got a little weird. I don't see anybody else out here. It's very lonely.
Okay, what happened next was I continued south on Route 12, and then I came up to a road on the left, and that was Old Oregon Inlet Road, and runners came up on that, and I saw Sherry. I saw the other two people that I saw her leave the aid station with, and I saw the two people that were still in the aid station when I left. They were all going the right way. The reason I had caught up to Sherry at that point is because I was running a pretty fast clip during the run. I was kind of panicking a little bit that I knew I was going the wrong way. But for some reason, I had gone too far to turn around. I didn't go out there to do 57 miles. And at that point, I had just kind of resolved that if I didn't get counted as a finisher, then that would be okay because I went down there to do 50 miles. Again, I wasn't competing for first place or any kind of prizes or anything. And be honest with you, I don't even know what, if first, second, or third got anything. I guess you get something. I don't even really pay attention to that part of race websites when I'm signing up for something because I know I'm never going to be there. So, yeah, the next clip is me realizing what I had done. One of the runners, whose name I don't know, said, "Hey, man, how long had you? How long did you took the wrong right turn? How long were you running that way?" And I just said, "You don't want to know, man," because I didn't know how to answer because I didn't really know what I had done yet. It was just dawning on me. My brain was getting kind of mushy, and I felt, you know, kind of stupid and embarrassed, and so I didn't really know how to respond, but I was able to record some thoughts.
Okay, remember my concern about going the wrong way? I went the wrong way. I went the long way, L-O-N-G. I completely missed the left turn. I kept going straight, and I eventually made a left turn that looped me far out where all the other runners were going. So I'm a dumbass. So when I get to the end, I'm gonna have to talk to the race director, see if he'll give me a finish anyway.
So I made it to the Body Island Lighthouse parking lot, which was the last aid station, and that. But I was over 43. I think I was around 43 and a half miles. So. And it was that's about seven, I think. So maybe like 7.15, because I think the whole course is about 50.3. So I had gone longer. So I at that point I knew I was not gonna come up short 50 miles. That was my concern, was then when I realized I'd gone the wrong way, was I gonna get to the lighthouse? And I didn't record a segment on this, but was I gonna get to the lighthouse short of 43 miles, which meant on the inbound, I was going to come up short of 50. And if that was the case, then, you know, I obviously that would be a cutting the course, would be considered that unintended, but, I wouldn't expect a finish for that. And I can see both sides of it. Really. I could do a whole analysis on this, both sides. You know, I never thought of doing anything other than explaining to the race director what I had done and just put it in his hands. And it's his decision anyway. It was out of my hands. I just told him what happened. And I did that when it was over. But I, as a result, my wife was not at that last aid station. And, I didn't want any of the Gatorade that they had at the aid station. I wanted stuff from the car that I had. And I knew I was just going to have to, at that point, the whole idea of, slowing down, trying to do different, more even pace. I was just so disappointed in myself. I just wanted to get to the finish line where I'd be happy and be done and tell the race director what happened and then just get out of there.
All right, I can't describe how disappointing my situation is. I should be, you know, elated that past 47 and a half miles at 10 hours, 19 minutes. But I'm going to have to, I didn't run the same course as everybody else. I ran a longer course. I mean, the conditions are the same. I'm not trying to minimize what happened. Obviously an honest mistake, but I have to, gotta let the race director know, see what he says. Since it's not a measured course, officially, maybe he'll give me a pass. I can't believe what I did. I knew I was going the wrong way, but I was so far invested, and I kept thinking, well, maybe those people ahead of me just cruised. I mean, I have been walking a lot. You know how these things are. Sometimes you get real spread out, and you do wonder if you're the only one in the race. So, we'll see what happens. Live and learn, right? And if it doesn't work out my way, if nothing else, it's a 50-mile training run for the attempt in April, which is going to be ridiculous if it's like this. It's rough. Like I said, I ran too fast. I was dumb, but it felt good. I was talking to people. You know, why not? All right, getting ready to clear 49. And it's 10 hours, 38 minutes. So if I can do a 20-minute mile, have sub 11, if it stands, you know, you got to be honest. And I'm hoping he'll give me the finish, because, you know, the ran on the conditions are the same, but I understand if it doesn't work out that way, and I'll be disappointed, but I'm not going to be an ass or anything. I mean, just got to be truthful. I mean, if you tell the truth, you can, you know, look at yourself in the mirror. Just, you can't cheat on these things. And the irony is that I ran longer. I think it was half a mile, because I left the aid station at 36 miles. The race finishes at 50. So seven down, seven back. It took me 7.5 to get to the Body Island Lighthouse aid station. But we'll see. All right, I got one more check in with my crew up here, and then I'm going to take it in.
So at this point, I decide to take my mind off the disappointment, really, even though it was at the tail end of a 50-miler. I should have been happy, but I was still kind of disappointed in myself. I made some mental notes in reference to what I would need to change for the race in April. You know, overnight, chafing issues, some blistering, anything that would happen, I would obviously need to address early on. A lot of thoughts just started swirling through my head. I put a couple down here and then got to the finish line.
Okay, so some notes here. If this were a race longer than 50 miles, I will need to get the shoes and socks off and dry the feet out and get some more lubricant on them. A little bit more lubricant in the chafing areas where shorts tend to chafe. iPods already died, so I need to figure that out. Actually, the iPod with my music on it died. I have a separate iPod shuffle, that is, with podcasts, but I just wasn't in the mood to listen to anything. I just wanted to hear music. So I've been running the last, since the last aid station, which will be, I guess, 7 once I get to the finish without anything. The weather, probably will need to figure out what I would wear in the overnight hours. Say this race was going on, I'm just in a long sleeve shirt with a real bright orange shirt over top of that and shorts. So I need to dial that up or dial it in or whatever. Nutrition. I eat several sandwich halves today, and I think I took 3 boosts, maybe 4 goos, a banana, some chocolate chip cookies. I mean, I had plenty to eat. 49.4. All right. 50.3, I can see the parking lot at a pier. I can see the wind turbines on the pier. I'm ready to finish this Jimmy Jig. Well, even if I don't get an official finish, I know that I personally covered 50 miles today and did it best I could. The turn into the parking lot of the pier always, well, not particular in this race, but you know, when you had that last turn, it always seems so much farther away than you think it is. Last year, I had my daughter running down here to meet me, and I see a little girl running down, presumably to meet her, probably her mom. People that are coming in right in front of me. Pretty cool. I've been kind of leapfrogging them all day. Had some good stretches today. I'm proud of what I did. Notwithstanding the air and the route. Now I'm at the point where apparently I was supposed to be able to see a left arrow, which I never did. And I kept going. Here we are. Ready to make the turn. Now I am literally almost there.
And that was the end. 10 hours, 57 minutes, 49 seconds was my finish time. I went, Scott Dean, the race director, he high-fives everybody at the finish line. Like he was doing that again this year, same thing he did last year, which was really cool. And I high-fived him, and I said, hey, Scott, I need to talk to you. I got a situation. I explained to him exactly what I did and how I had gone out and gone down Route 12 instead of the old Oregon Inlet Road. I can't really remember how I explained it, but he seemed to understand what I said. And he's like, man, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. You did over 50 miles in the Outer Banks. You get a finish. So he gave me the finish. I took it. I would have completely, and I did tell him, I said, I understand if you'll give me a DNF. I said, I completely understand that. I said, I hope you don't, but I mean, I'd understand if you would. And he said, no, man. He said, you covered it. You're good. And so that was his decision. You might disagree. But again, this was not an event where I was taking anybody's age group or age group award away from them. I came in 30th place out of 46 people who finished. Clearly middle to back of the pack. Definitely wasn't threatening anybody's qualifying time for any other race. And I know it's my responsibility to know the route, and that's why it's so disappointing. And I'm kind of past it now, but I was really disappointed that day because I'd run that route last year, and I still don't know how I ran right past that road and kept going straight. And in the recorded segments there, clearly I'm pondering what is happening and how I did not recognize that area, but I, for whatever reason, didn't do anything about it. And believe me, my goal was not to run faster than the other people, which ended up being over 50 and a half miles. So that was not my plan at all. I wasn't interested in doing that, but that's just the course I took. Of course, hindsight's always 20/20. I should have, and part of me is wondering that if I had actually slowed down from the very beginning and ran more of a 12-hour or even a 13-hour 50-miler, which would have been better pace practice for the 100-mile attempt, perhaps I would have left that aid station at mile 36 and not been in such a, quote, hurry, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I've obviously reflected on it a little bit here. And as you could tell from hearing me ponder it in the podcast, I was completely ready to accept a DNF or a DQ or being disqualified. But it wasn't that serious of a race. I mean, it's put on by the Outer Banks Running Club. Scott Dean, the race director, is very nice. But I never thought of anything other than going and telling him exactly what happened, because the only thing you have is your own integrity. I listened to the Marathon Investigation podcast, and I hear about some of the investigations that guy does about people who he calls out. He figures out that they either cut the course or their chip mats don't work. And I wouldn't call what I did cheating, because, you know, it wasn't in my heart. And I actually ran longer. The terrain was the same. It's flat. It's on a barrier island. It's pavement. I mean, that's what the course was. And it was a parallel road, but I'd be interested in what people have to say about that. If you have an opinion, you can send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'm just curious. I was out of my, like I said, it was out of my hands. The decision, the only decision I had was to be truthful. And there was never, I never even considered not, being truthful about it. Even if no one had seen me, if I had come through there where those two roads met, where old Oregon Inlet Road met up with Route 12, and that's when I realized and had the revelation that I was going, it was definitely going the wrong way. Even if nobody had been there, and then I had seen the arrow that was at that intersection directing runners off old Oregon Inlet Road onto southbound 12, at that point I would have known I'd gone the wrong way. Even if nobody had seen me, I would have had to report that. And that's just the way I am. So that's it. Another 50-mile finish with the asterisk next to it, I guess. But that was my 6-1, and We'll have another show in reference to the Little Rock Marathon, which I'm doing March 3rd with Sandy. I'll probably put a show out between now and then because I got to start training again. My recovery was pretty quick. I'm feeling pretty good today. I've gone for walks each day with my dog. The weather's been absolutely perfect. I'm off all week from work. I do that after the ultras just to recover without having to worry about going to a job. And I'll start up this weekend with the double digits and continue on and just move right on through Little Rock and into late April to the 100-mile attempt. Thanks for listening to the show. I appreciate you coming along. I'll have another one out soon. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.